It's good to see everybody today. Some of you, maybe you weren't here last week. I came back last week from an extended time of absence and sabbatical and just dealing with some things in my own life, and I'll talk about that, I'm sure, over the next several weeks. But if you have a Bible, you can turn to Genesis chapter 16 and Ephesians chapter 1 if you want to hold your place. Some of you maybe, again, have your Bible on your phone, and so you can't hold your place, but just know, make a note that we're going to be looking at Genesis 16 and a little later in the message at Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm beginning a new Christmas series today called Known. It's just simply called Known. I want you to know God. I want you to know that you're known by God. And we all need to make him known. So, I love you, Jeremy. Man, I really do love you. You're not distracting anybody at all.
I appreciate that. I'm trying to be as quiet as possible. It's not working out for me.
I really do love Jeremy. I'm not just saying that. If there's one person that can distract me and I must not lose my temper at all, it's Jeremy. It's hard to be mad at somebody that smiles all the time. But I'm not mad at him. I love him. I really do love you, man. I love you. I love your family. Go take care of your babies. His babies are sick. We prayed for them this morning. So, but I want you to know God. I want you to know that you're known by God, and I want you to make him known. We all need to be living our lives where we are making him known to a lost world. This series was inspired by that song that you just heard by Bing Crosby. I know that sounds silly, but early November is when my kids already are starting to want to listen to Christmas music. And so I was driving them to school one day, and we were going, they said, we want to listen to Christmas music. So I found a station that was already playing Christmas music early November. And I dropped them off at school, and I really wasn't paying attention to the radio as I was driving back, and that song by Bing Crosby came on, and I just got to tell you, I'm not a big fan of Bing Crosby. Don't hate me, please. No, you know, he's okay. He's just not my favorite. And in fact, Stephen back there, I said, we're going to play this song by Bing Crosby. He said, who? I said, Bing Crosby. He said, never heard of him. I was, really? Anyway, so welcome to the land of Bing Crosby. But he's not my favorite, and that particular song, Do You Hear What I Hear, it's not in my top 10 favorite Christmas song either, okay? So I decided I'm going to change it, I was just going to turn it off. And I reached over to turn it off, and it was one of those things where I really just felt like I sensed the Holy Spirit saying, wait, listen. And so it really was like that. It was like my hand paused, and I thought, okay, you're trying to tell me something? And the Holy Spirit just said, listen. And so I listened to the whole song, and I said, yeah. And then I heard the Holy Spirit just kind of begin to download this series into my heart. And y'all need to understand, I was on sabbatical. I wasn't thinking about preaching. I wasn't even wanting to think about preaching. I was so far removed from it that I was, for the first time really in 20-something years, I was like, I am not going to be thinking about my next sermon or my next series or what I'm going to preach in March. I'm not going to think about church. I'm not thinking about it. Lord, I rebuke the devil. And the Holy Spirit, no. This is me, son. I'm trying to tell you something. And so he just downloaded this series into my spirit, and I felt like it was for you guys. I felt like it was for Christmas, for this season. And so I got home and I told my wife, I was just joking, I said, the Holy Spirit binged me. She said, what? I said, yeah, I was listening to Bing Crosby and the Holy Spirit binged me. That's my dad joke. I got millions of them, okay? So you're supposed to laugh harder at that. I got binged. I got binged by the Holy Spirit. I got Bing Crosby'd. So the song has four key statements, and these statements are the titles of the next 4 weeks sermon series. And so I'm going to be doing these first three just before Christmas, and then And then the last one will be that last Sunday after Christmas before the new year. But it's, do you see what I see? These are the statements. Do you hear what I hear? Do you know what I know? Listen to what I say. And so the message today is the question, do you see what I see? Do you see what I see? And I want you to think of this question as being asked, not by me to you. I want you to think of this question as being asked directly from God to you personally. God is asking you, do you see what I see? And you may be saying, no, God, I really don't. How could I see what you see? You're all powerful. You're all knowing. You're all seeing. You're omnipresent. There's no way I could see what you see, God. But I want you to personalize it just a little bit more today. And hear God asking you about yourself. Do you see what he sees about you? God is asking you about yourself. Do you see what I see? Do you see what I see? The first thing I want you to know this morning, number one, if you want to write this down, is God sees you. God sees you. Now, when I said that, some of you already are like, oh, I don't need to hear that. God sees you. God sees you. And here's what I want you to understand today. God, it's not like Santa Claus, okay? You know, like he sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. No, I'm not talking about he sees you like that today, okay? Yes, God sees us all the time. He sees us when we're bad. He sees us when we're good. But that's not what I'm talking about today. What I'm talking about is I want you to understand that God sees you. He notices you. He values you. He cares about you. He's aware of you. He's not just aware of you. You are on his mind. He's thinking about you. He's never far away from you. He sees you. There's a lot of people, I think sometimes, especially around this time of year, they're wondering this question. A lot of us can wonder, does anybody really see me? Does anybody really notice me? Does anybody really care? Am I valued? Am I loved? Am I seen? What I want you to know today is that God sees you. You are seen by a God who truly loves you. Most people, they go through their life wondering, though, does anybody truly see me? And here in Genesis chapter 16, there's this story of this woman who, she may have felt this way, where she wondered whether or not anyone saw her. It's the story of a slave girl. And her name is Hagar. And before I just read the scripture, I just want to give you a little background. Hagar is not really a very flattering name for a woman to start with. Not a lot of people naming their children, little girls, Hagar. Sounds like more like slacks you buy at Bell's or Dillard's or JCPenney or something. But she was a slave. And sometimes we read through scriptures and we read these stories and we miss some things. I think sometimes we don't think about it because we think, well, she had a lot of stuff going on for her. I mean, she lived right there with some really important people in the Bible. No, she was a slave. She didn't have a choice. She was already among the lowest of the low. And she was a slave, but not only that, her master's she had been given to her master's wife as a servant, and so her master's wife could not have children. And so her master's wife gave Hagar to the master to bear his child. Now I don't know. If sometimes we don't think about the ramifications of that, but here she is. She's treated like nothing more than property to be given, to be used and abused. And she becomes pregnant with her master's child, but then her master's wife becomes jealous of her and doesn't want her in the family, doesn't want her around anymore, and drives her away, casts her out. She was an outcast. Now, think about the culture of the Old Testament. Really, the culture of that day very much devalued women to begin with. But someone who had already been a slave and now an unwed mother, she was completely alone in the world. She was an outcast. Can't you just feel what she might have been feeling there? She wondered, do I have any value? Does anybody care? Am I noticed? Am I valued? Am I loved? There may be some of you in here today that you feel that same anguish, and you don't have to be an outcast. You don't have to be some. You might actually have family and people around you. Can I tell you, you don't have to be alone to feel alone. How many of you know that's true? But I want you to know that God saw Hagar, and God sees you. Let's look at it in Genesis chapter 16, verse 7. It says, then the angel of the Lord found Hagar beside the spring of water in the wilderness along the road of Shur. Verse 8, the angel said to her, Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai, she replied. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her authority. And then he added, I will give you more descendants than you can count. And the angel also said, you are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, which means God hears. I'm going to talk about that next week. Do you hear what I hear? God hears. But he says, for the Lord has heard your cry of distress. Now, skip down to verse 13. It says, therefore, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, you are God who sees me. She also said, Have I truly seen the one who sees me? God sees you. In the midst of her distress, God saw her. Pastor Jackie was here last week, and he talked about some of the things that can distract us, and one of those is the distress of life, just the things that happen in our life, the distress. In the midst of her distress, though, God saw her, and in the midst of whatever it is you're facing, God sees you. But maybe you have felt like her, and you don't have to be an outcast. You don't have to feel alone. You can be surrounded by people and still wonder, does anybody really see me? Do I have value? Does anyone really care? Well, I want to tell you today, God sees you. God sees you. I want you to know this fundamental truth. God sees you. But the second thing I want you to know is that he likes what he sees. My second point is God sees you through the eyes of love. God sees you, and he sees you through the eyes of love. He likes what he sees. When God sees you, he does not see all those bad things. And I want you to get this fundamental truth that yes, he does see you, but I also want you to know that he sees you through the eyes of love. Do you see yourself the way God sees you? That's the question. Do you see what I see? When God speaks to you, here's what God sees. You're the apple of his eye. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8 says, whoever touches you touches the apple of his eye. Do you know that was in the Bible? When God looks at you, he sees the apple of his eye. He loves you. He sees you through the eyes of love. He sees you, and he likes what he sees. How does God see you? Do you think he sees your sin? Do you think he sees those bad things that maybe that you've done? Do you think you're a bad person? And that's how you see yourself. And so you think that's the way God sees you. Do you think he sees your shamefulness, that you're a sinner? Is that how God sees you? No. God sees you through the eyes of love. You're the apple of his eye. I asked you to hold your place in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul first writes in Ephesians chapter 1 a whole lot of things. He talks about how God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. That's how God sees us. He wants to bless us with every spiritual blessing. But then he goes on to say in verse 4, this will be on the screen if you want to look it up, if you want to turn to Ephesians 1, chapter 1 and verse 4. He says, for he chose us, get this, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. God doesn't see your sin. He doesn't see your shame or guilt. It's not because he's got a stigmatism or something. It's not because he's blind. It's not because he's got cataracts. It's that he chooses to look past those things. The sin, the shame, the guilt. He chooses to look past those things. He doesn't see that. Instead, he sees you through the eyes of love. You're the one that he chose. You are the one that he created. You are his sons and daughters. And here's what I want you to really see. We have become, the Bible says, the righteousness of Christ Jesus. So what happens is at the cross that we've already sung about even, we take off our sinfulness and we put on his righteousness. And what he did for us is he gave us his righteousness and took our sin upon himself. And so the righteousness that was in Christ Jesus is now upon us. And when God looks at you, he does not see the sin. He doesn't see the shame. He doesn't see the blame. He doesn't see the guilt. What he sees is his son, Jesus. When he looks at you, he sees his son. He sees his daughter. He sees the love of his life, the apple of his eye. God sees you and he likes what he sees. Do you see what I see? God is asking. Do you see what I see? And this, and it says he sees. He does not see anymore the blame. He says you're going to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love. He sees you through the eyes of love. Some of you ought to be getting a little bit more happy today. I'm happy. I don't know if you're happy or not, but I'm happy. I'm glad to be here at church this morning. I'm glad for this word today. This goes on to talk about how he has adopted us and we are his children now. He has forgiven us. He lavishes the riches of his grace upon us. He chose you. He has included you. You have value. You have worth. You are seen by God. And he sees you through the eyes of love. And in verse 18, Paul writes, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. I'm praying the same prayer today. I'm praying that your eyes are open to how God sees you. I'm praying that your eyes are enlightened to how God sees you today. He sees you through the eyes of love. In his sight, you are blameless. And my prayer today, oh Lord, let everyone get this. If I could just crack their heads open and pound this into their spirit and into their brains, God, I would do that. But Lord, I know that you can do what I cannot. And so my prayer again today, Lord, is that you will open every eye in here to see themselves the way you see them. And Lord, you don't see them through guilt and shame. Lord, you see them through the eyes of love. I pray that your eyes are open today, Paul said, that you're enlightened to the truth. God sees you and he likes what he sees. I was talking with a father whose adult son had made some very harmful decisions with his life. He had dropped out of school and he was a drug addict. And he was just living a deplorable lifestyle. And the father was not naive. He was not in denial. It hurt. It hurt him deeply to watch his son go down this path that was leading nowhere good. But the father did not see what everybody else saw about this young man. When everybody else saw the train wreck, the father, he saw his son still through the eyes of love. When everyone else had written this kid off and just kind of didn't want to be around him, avoided him like the plague, the father still saw the little boy that he had once been. He saw the little boy who had once been pure and full of life and full of promise, full of hope, full of potential, was innocent and pure. When everybody else saw a mess, the father saw his son. When everybody else just gave up on the boy, the father never gave up on him. Because the father saw through different eyes. I want to tell you today, I don't know where you're at in your life right now. Some of you I do. But a lot of you I don't. And you may be sitting there saying, but you don't know, Pastor, you don't know the things that I've done. You don't know the things that I've seen. You don't know the things that I've been through. You don't know the things that I've experienced. You don't know the how bad I've been. I want to tell you this. God knows and he doesn't care. Because he doesn't see that. He sees his son, Jesus Christ. And he sees you, his son or his daughter, who he loves. God sees you. And he sees you through the eyes of love. He sees you through the eyes of love. He likes what he sees. I think some of you really need to get that into your spirit today because you have had a hard time believing it. And I speak from my own experience right now. God sees you and he likes what he sees. Sometimes you can read something in Scripture and you can say, yeah, I agree with that. I agree with it. I believe that. But sometimes we have something on the inside of us that is warring against it. Other beliefs. Beliefs about ourselves. God sees you and he likes what he sees. And here's the third thing I want you to make note of today. This is a cry, if you will, of desperation from the heart of a pastor. You need to begin to see yourself the way God sees you. And you need to understand that he does not see you through your sin. He sees you through the eyes of love. There's not a filter of sin between the way he looks at you. There's a filter of love that he looks through. You need to begin to see yourself the way he does. And the reason this is important, hear me today. You may poke your neighbor and say, you need to hear this. Let me tell you why this is important today. That you really begin to see yourself the way he really sees you through the eyes of love. You need to begin to see yourself the way he sees you. Why is that important? I thought I was going to be done after that second point. But God just kept bringing this one in. Why is it important? Why am I saying this today? Yeah, God sees me. Okay, I believe that. Oh, and he sees me through the eyes of love. Well, okay, I guess maybe that's what the Bible says, so I believe that too. Why is it important that you really internalize? Why is it important that you get this? Why is it important that you see it today? Why is it important that you know this today? Why do you need to see yourself the way God sees you? Let me just tell you from my own testimony, from my own experience. I've been away on sort of a sabbatical, and I had to deal with some issues in my life that had gone unchecked for too long. I've been serving the Lord in full-time vocational ministry for nearly 30 years. Some of you say, you don't look that old, and others of you say, wow, you're ancient, but you listen to Bing Crosby. I don't. But I had some things that I was not coping well with. The loss of my mother and my father, who both passed away within 8 weeks of each other this year. And I was just dealing with some past wounds. that I thought were dealt with a long time ago, frankly. I had a lot of shame from my past. And I was dealing with regrets and the shame and those wounds, in addition to the grief that I was feeling. And I got to the place where I just didn't want to feel anymore. And so I didn't want to get out of bed. Some would say I was depressed. Yeah, you could say that. There was some depression I was dealing with, and I just didn't want to get out of bed in the morning. I didn't want to do anything but just binge watch TV and eat, and I was self-medicating. And the more I did those things, the more shame I felt. The worse I felt about myself. And Jennifer just was like, this is not, it's almost like quoting a scripture, this thing you do is not good. And she said, this is not healthy, this is not good. And I was like, I said, you're right. I can't keep doing this. I don't know how to get unstuck though. I need help. And I'm so thankful for our elders and for our dream team and for our leadership team. I'm so thankful for Pastor Jackie, our apostolic covering, who came with a team from Lubbock and just helped us as I was going through some things. But for the first time in my life, I actually got professional therapy. I got counseling for emotional trauma in my life. And one of the things that I learned was, I believe what I'm teaching you today. I believe in the Word of God. I believe the Word. I believe this message that I'm teaching you today. I believe that God saw me and He liked what He saw, that He loved me. But I didn't like myself. I'm going to talk more a little bit about that next week in Do You Hear What I Hear? Because I heard things, but I just didn't like me. I thought God loved me. I believed it. But there was something that goes all the way back to my childhood that were other beliefs that I had. Yes, I believed God's word. Yes, I believed in God. Yes, I believe He saw me and He loved me, that I was forgiven. I believed those things. But I had other beliefs that were so second nature to me that it was just part of my personality. It was part of my, in some ways, my identity. It was things that I had come to believe that I didn't even know were there. And they were contradictory to what I believed about God. And what I started realizing for the first time was that the way I saw myself was not the way God saw me. And the reason it was important for me to know that God saw me and know that He saw me through the eyes of love, that He liked what He saw. The reason that was important is because that is the truth. And Jesus said, you will know the truth. And what? The truth will make you free. I think I have the scripture up there. Put it up there. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will make you free. And here's the deal. When I started really believing, not believing all the lies that I had believed for so long that I didn't even know were there. I didn't even know that they were there. I was not aware. They were so second nature to me. They had latched on to me. These lies from my past, these voices from my past were such a part of who I was. When I finally became aware of it, I realized that's a lie. Those are lies from the enemy. And God doesn't see me that way. He sees me through the eyes of love. And when I started really believing that, listen to me, it started setting me free. The reason it's important for you to see yourself the way God sees you is because the way he sees you is the truth. You may say, well, yeah, but I know me. I know the truth. You know what you think you know is true. You've come to believe it about yourself, but there's a higher truth. Believe in what God sees, and it will set you free. One of the counselors that I met with, he didn't know my background yet. He didn't know all my history. And he asked me, he said, do you have a higher power? And I said, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. He goes, okay, good. I'm a Christian. He said, I believe the same as you. He asked me, he said, do you believe that God forgives you no matter what? I said, yeah, I do. I believe that. He said, but do you have a hard time forgiving yourself? I said, yes. And he said, then who's the higher power? If you believe in the forgiveness of God, but you can't forgive yourself, who's the higher power? You're putting yourself in the place of God at that point. Yeah, it's good. I mean, when he first said it to me, I was like, ooh. There's something else for me to feel bad about. But the truth is, the way he sees me is the truth. And when I see myself the way he sees me, I know the truth, and the truth makes me free. Amen. And so here's what I want you to hear today. God sees you. He likes what he sees because he sees you through the eyes of love. He doesn't see your sin and shame. He sees his son, Jesus Christ. He sees his son and his daughter. He sees the apple of his eye. He likes what he sees. He sees through the eyes of love. And when you begin to see yourself the way God sees you, that's the truth that will set you free. Amen. Has this been good today? Is this all right? All right. I want to ask you to stand to your feet this morning. And I want to pray for you. I can't wait to bring next week's message. I would pat myself on the back, but I know that it's not me, it's God. So go God, way to go. But I say that to be funny, really, but I really want you to know that we're going to be going through, all of us. You can't help it because I'm your pastor. And as I've been going through a journey of rediscovery and inner healing, I want to help you get there too, because we all need it. I can't tell you how many people have reached out to me and said, man, some of the stuff you've been sharing, I've just never heard a leader be that open and honest and transparent before. And that's a shame. Honestly, church should be a safe place where everybody can come and bring their junk, but not live in their junk, get it dealt with. Because that's what God wants to do. He wants to deal with that. So I want you to bow your head for just a minute and just, I wonder, is there somebody in here today who say, I've just really felt like Hagar. I've just really felt, nobody's looking around. You don't have to worry about anybody judging you here. But you just say, I've just kind of felt alone. I've just felt like nobody's noticed. Maybe you felt unseen. Would you just lift your hand up if that's you today? Just say, I've just felt like that. Just kind of felt unnoticed and unseen. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. I want to ask this today. How many of you in here today say, just be honest, you've been having a hard time forgiving yourself? And I don't know how far back it goes. It may have been on the way to church this morning, or it may go all the way back to something in your childhood, but you've just been having a hard time forgiving yourself. God's already let it go, but you're still hanging on to something. And it's been kind of warping your view of how you think God sees you. And there's some things you just need to let go today. If that's you, would you, nobody's looking around. Just raise your hand. Just lift it up high. Thank you, Lord. Hands going up. Father, I pray a prayer today. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe, Lord, that you can do a miracle work. And I'm asking you to do that in the hearts of every person here this morning. Open their eyes to see what you see. Lord, you're asking, do you see what I see? I don't see the sin. I don't see the past guilt. I don't see the past shame. I see my child. I see my son. I see my daughter. I see the one that I love. Do you see what I see? Father, I pray they'll hear your voice speaking louder than the voices that have been spoken in their past. I pray that they'll see themselves differently, the way you see them. Lord, that they'll look back even on that little child that they once were and give that kid a break. Because God, you love them unconditionally. Father, I pray that you would do a miracle work in their heart. They can forgive as you have forgiven even themselves. And they can know the truth. And the truth set them free. God, set us free today. And Lord, those who have just felt unloved, uncared for, unnoticed, unseen, Lord, let this message today remind them again of how good you really are, God. You see them, and you like what you see. Lord, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give God praise in this place. Come on, let's worship. Hallelujah.